Welcome to Glimpses of Calvary, and thank you for joining us. Glimpses of Calvary is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Findlay, Ohio. Join us now as our pastor, Gordon Dixon, opens the Word of God to us.
If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Mark chapter 14, the Gospel of Mark. And we're turning to chapter 14. Let's move on. Look at what he says in verse 30. And Jesus said unto him, now note, this is in direct response to what Peter had just said. The Lord had already, you remember in Matthew 16, he'd already said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Translation there, you could say adversary. Satan means adversary. Get behind me, you adversary, because you do not think, the word savor there is the word phroneo, and the idea is you are not thinking God's words. As a result, you do not love what God loves and hate what God hates. And because you are not thinking, because you don't have a receptive heart, open and tender to what God says, he says, get behind me, you adversary, because you don't savor what I savor. Well, now, Peter is really showing his enemy ways. Now he's really acting like an adversary because Jesus has to speak to him specifically. And Jesus said unto him, verily or truly, the word there is amen, he says it in advance, I say unto you that this day, even this night, before the cock, referring to a rooster, crows twice, you will deny me three times. Now, this is really intriguing if you think about it. God is here, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is here giving to Peter a very specific personal prophecy. He is saying to him in a very personal way, a personal prophecy, you are going to do this before the day is out. You know what I think? I think that when you and I hear the Word of God, that we make this disconnect, and even though the Bible says this is true, and this is true of you, and this is what God says to you as an individual, you and I have this disconnect, a Peter-like disconnect, where we say, I think that was for the guy over in this section. No, that was for the guy behind me. Boy, I'm glad he preached on that for that lady up front. Boy, she really needs that. The disconnect is that you and I do not look at the Word of God as a specific prophecy for us. Now, I understand that the Lord is not saying to some individual in this room, by the way, tonight before the rooster crow, before the rooster, you know, goes twice, you're going to deny me three. I understand he's not saying that. But do we not understand that in a number of other passages, that he gives us these marvelous if-then statements. If you do this, then this will result. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that will he also reap. Do we not understand that throughout the Word of God, there are all sorts of personal prophecies for us? This is what is going to happen. And we make this disconnection and say, no, that applies to somebody else, it doesn't apply to me. Folks, that is exactly the mistake that Peter made. This is why I think when you get to the end of this chapter and he says, he really began to call to mind God's words, and he really began to dwell on them, that it brought him to the place of weeping. Notice what Peter says in verse 31. Do you believe he's acting like an adversary? Verse 31. But he, Peter, spake the more vehemently. You ever do this? You ever load up your argument? You know, okay, you're having a domestic discussion. No, not at your house, your neighbor's house. I'm talking to your neighbor right now, not at your house. It's somebody else's house we're talking about. But there's this domestic discussion going on, right? Two spouses, you know, husband and wife, and they're going after it. And rather than just, you know, meekly, you know, saying, you know, no, we've got to load it up. You know, if you load it up, if you do it vehemently, then you'll really get your point across, right? No, unfortunately, yeah, more control equals more corruption. All you're doing is spreading a terrible poison all over the field, and you're going to have like a super fun cleanup here now as a result of doing it vehemently. Throw yourself into it. You see, this vehemence, doing things in such a way vehemently, by the way, in complete disregard for the Word of God, cutting cross-grained to the Word of God, vehemently, it has in mind that ultimately my flesh will come out victoriously. And it's false, folks. It's false. That's not true. And you can see it here in Peter. Just because you do it vehemently and you really get mad, I'll fix them right now. What happens? Well, you can see it here in your second sign. This is the second sign of self-sufficient failure. Your self-sufficient failure springs from your rejection of God's specific prophecy for you. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ gave him a specific prophecy about himself. And he vehemently said in verse 31, "If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise." Now, it's interesting in verse 31, and I don't want you to miss this, "likewise said they all." Would you stop just for a moment and think about this? I've been speaking to you as individuals, but just for a moment, can I talk to you about your leadership over others? Do you not see that the way you respond helps others to know how they ought to respond? This is why when we went through the Life of Christ series, we talked about this a lot. And we walked out with this principle. Do you remember this principle? Be what you want them to become. Be what you want them to become, or you'll become like them. If you and I will not lead by example and follow the Lord by example, then what's going to happen is we're going to be like those that sometimes we despise. Do you not think that Peter despised those who rejected the Lord? I mean, they were continually working together, and they were seeing this opposition from Pharisees and Sadducees. And don't you think Peter was saying, "Can you believe that? I mean, can you believe the way those people respond to the Lord Jesus Christ?" Hello, Peter, that's exactly what you're doing. Peter is now vehemently insisting on the power of his own self-sufficiency, not only his own power to control his spirit, but in this case, it's an insistence on his own personal power, even to death, Lord. Well, what's happened? Two signs we've seen here. Number one, your self-sufficient failure springs from your rejection of God's plan, specific plan, and here God's specific prophecy, even when applied in just that way. Now, we need to move down the passage just a little bit because we're just concentrating on Peter. So go with me, if you would, to see what happens as a result of what we just read all the way down in verse 46. "And they," that is those who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, Judas and the band of men who came, soldiers, all who came, led by these Jewish leaders and Judas, "they," verse 46, "they laid hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword." You remember who that was, by the way? It's the person that we are considering this morning. It's Peter. Peter, the one who insisted, "I will die with you." Peter whips out a sword and he smote a servant. The name of the servant, by the way, was Malchus, we learned from another gospel. He smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. I'd like to point out several things in these reactions. We're going to talk for the next few moments about the third sign. Your self-sufficient failure will be evident in your wrong reactions. And so if you're making lists this morning, let's talk about your reactions. Let's talk about that if you are a self-sufficient person insisting that you can be in control of your own spirit and you can be in control of your own personal power, let's take the test, shall we, to find out if we are not like Peter in our failures. Look at what it says in verse 47. "One of them drew a sword, smote a servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear." If you're making a list of wrong reactions, note this one first. These all end with the word "out." You lash out. Okay, here's what he's doing. He's lashing out. He's going to pull out his sword and say, "I can fix this problem." Now, look, folks, where do you turn to when it comes time to fix a problem? What do you do? And how do you fix? You didn't fix the problem. How do you think that you are going to fix the problem in such a way that this will solve this one for good? You know, there ain't no permanent haircut, but I'm gonna solve this problem for good. I'm gonna put this one to rest. When Moses struck the rock in Numbers chapter 20, he actually said to the people, "See now, you rebels, must we," in other words, he and God together, failing to make a distinction between himself and God, failing to submit himself to God and God's words, he lashes out at the rock. He takes the rod and twice lashes out at the rock in the very same way that Peter's doing here. Where do you lash out? Do you remember the last time you lashed out? You remember the last time that things weren't going your way and you just in fury lashed out? And our deceitful flesh deceives us and convinces us, you're going to be victorious here. If you could just do this vehemently enough, then you'll do it victoriously. And those of us who have any kind of age and experience on us at all know perfectly well that is not true. That is all I did was make the problem worse. You know, I thought I was like a surgeon going into surgery, but I polluted my own scalpel. I mean, I really messed up here. And that's all my lashing out ever did for me. I think these are exactly the kind of reasons that Peter is weeping by the time you get to the end of this passage. Not only did he lash out in verse 47, what did he do in verse 50? It says, "And they all forsook him and fled." He ran out. He ran out. He just ran away. You've heard of fight or flight syndrome. You know, what do people do when confronted with fear? In Peter's case, it's both fight and flight. In his case, it's lash out. He's rebuked by the Lord. The Lord heals Malchus's ear, by the way. And then, you know, Peter heads for the hills. Peter, who said, "Though all men," you know, you could see this now, can't you? I mean, that's so clear now. "Though all men shall," and here he's, you know, he's running. That's exactly the same way it is for all of us. Now, folks, the Bible talks about the fact that the wicked flee when no man pursues. In this case, Peter and the other disciples are running for the hills. In what way would there be any sin here? Well, the Scripture speaks about the fact that that which is not of faith is, you tell me, sin. That which is not of faith is sin. Peter, having failed to place faith in God's specific words, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, having failed to place faith in God's specific words, his personal plan, his personal prophecy, as a result of having to do that, he's running. So you lash out, you run out. Has this been said in your house, in your marriage? "I think I'll just leave. All right, fine, I'll just go." Got a little quiet in here. Can't we see that that kind of lashing out and that kind of running out springs from our worship of our own self-sufficiency, and that if we would repent of that, we would learn God's ways?
Thank you for joining us for Glimpses of Calvary. This is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church, 2000 Broad Avenue in Findlay, Ohio, 45840. That address again is 2000 Broad Avenue, Findlay, Ohio, 45840. Please join us again each weekday at this same time as we look for Glimpses of Calvary.